Are you looking for expert analysis and the latest news in the promotional products industry?
You must be, because you're listening to the Promo Marketing Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Promo Marketing Podcast. I'm Sean Norris, your host and editor-in-chief for Promo Marketing. With me, as always, Brendan Menapis, senior digital editor. Brendan, how are we today?
I'm good. If before you asked, I'm fine.
Very eager to jump into the conversation, I see.
Yeah, I've just had a bunch of coffee.
I'm actually drinking coffee right now, as you can see.
I'm actually already like gearing up for coffee number two. It's going to be, now that I know we have a meeting at noon.
Yeah, we're going to need that to get through it. It's actually a meeting about podcasting, which is cool, so it should be a pretty good one. A couple exciting things coming up on the back end of things on the program. Shouldn't affect the daily production, but should be pretty cool for us.
It's going to make things better. I think you're going to have higher quality audio for our interviews, which will be great. It should make my job a little easier in editing it. So
that's secondary concern, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just want it to sound good, which it will.
That's true. That is the end goal.
So on today's program, we got a good show for you guys. We had a really nice long chat with Sam Brown and Eric Nelson of BrandVL Alliance. We talked about the top 50 distributors list that we put out a little bit earlier this year and their place on it and kind of how they got there. How they grew and what their strategies are going to be moving forward, and you know what other distributors can learn from their success.
Yeah, it was a really fun conversation. They seemed like a fun group to work with. Everyone seemed to get along really well, and it was a lot of fun.
There were a few fun expletives in there too.
Yeah, that was a first for this podcast.
So we're going to decide later whether to kind of bleep those out or not. I don't know what the verdict is on that. I guess you're just going to have to wait and see.
I don't want to spoil anything, but I think I know what I'm going to do with them.
All right, so stay tuned for that in a couple of minutes here. Since we had such a good long conversation with those two, we're going to keep it short on our end today. There is one thing I did want to talk about. If you've been paying attention to the internet at all today, I was scrolling the Promo Marketing Twitter feed this morning. And I'm just, you know, going through, seeing what I missed, any news, any happenings in the industry, any happenings out of the industry, you know, getting my fill. And I saw a retweet from Warren Buffett. It was like some uplifting, motivational stuff. So, you know, I scroll through, get to go down a couple more, and there's another Warren Buffett tweet retweeted. I scroll a little bit more, and there's a third one. So I got three Warren Buffett retweets in my feed today, and I'm thinking, I don't think I've ever seen a Warren Buffett tweet before. I didn't even know the guy was on Twitter. So I do a little investigating, and it looks like these are all coming from a fake Warren Buffett Twitter account. And it's actually become such a big thing that ABC News, Business Insider, a couple other sites have picked up on it and have run a few stories about this fake account and how it's kind of blowing up Twitter right now. Brendan, I sent it your way. Can you describe briefly the content of these tweets?
Let's come out of the gate and address the fact that it's not Warren Buffett. It's Warren Buffet, and it's Warren Buffet 99.
Right. The last name is spelled wrong, and the Twitter handle is spelled wrong as well and has a 99 on the end. So I feel like that should be a pretty good giveaway that this is not actually Warren Buffett. But anyway,
it should be 217,000 people say otherwise. It goes along with what you'd expect from a Warren Buffett Twitter account, which is some like life advice that blends in with business advice. Here's how to be more successful. Here's things to do. Here's things to stop doing. It's really hung up on numbered lists. There's a lot of numbered lists.
Well, the pinned tweet, and I also feel like this is a really good giveaway that it's not the real Warren Buffett. This is the pinned tweet. First words: here's what's cool. And then it's a numbered list with 10 things that I guess are cool. So number one, saying thank you. Okay, that's cool. Number two, apologizing when wrong. Number three, showing up on time. Number four, being nice to strangers. Five, listening without interrupting. And you get the idea.
Yeah, well, I'm going to interrupt. Number six is admitting when you're wrong. Completely different than apologizing when you're wrong.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. We're doubling up on contradictory advice here on this one. But it's just that pinned tweet has 287,000 retweets, and 712,000 likes. That's pretty insane. Mainly because this isn't exactly next level advice here.
No, it's not. And The wildest thing is what you said. Warren Buffett has a Twitter that's verified.
He does.
It brings up something we've talked about privately and on the podcast with social media. It's just getting bigger. It's becoming more of a integral part of life. And the same way people should be able to discern fake information on the internet because it is abundant, you should be able to discern fake information on Twitter. And Twitter makes it pretty easy for you when you're dealing with a public figure with a little blue check mark. Twitter has its faults on the back end, but it makes it very easy to know the information you're getting from a public figure is actually coming from that public figure as opposed to a misspelled imposter.
Right. And so just as, you know, for comparison purposes, the real Warren Buffett Twitter account, it has the blue check mark. It 1.42 million followers on that one. And the handle is at Warren Buffett, all spelled correctly. So it's pretty easy to verify that that's the real account. Now, he only has 9 tweets on there, which is more in line with what I'd expect from Warren Buffett. He's probably got a few things going on. Bit of an older gentleman. I'm not sure how social media literate he is. All of them are older. It looks like the most recent tweet on that account, the real Warren Buffett, is April 2016.
Well, that's why people are going to the knockoff.
They got
to
get their fix.
They got to get their fix. They got to get those lists.
So this fake account, 64 tweets, but all of them are from the last like day or two. We're looking at the feed now, and there's tweets from 59 minutes ago, 58 minutes ago, 55, 49, 49 again, 47, and 35, so on, all the way up to the present moment that we're reading this. Let's give you a sampling of some of the other ones. Every day we should help someone and thank someone. Okay, cool.
That's true.
Here you go. You can't always think one day I will enjoy my life. One day might never come. You have to make the most of today.
You know what I think this is? You know what I think this? I bet it's Jaden Smith.
What's Jaden Smith been doing lately? His Twitter's been quiet. Maybe this is his secret burner account.
I don't follow him because I don't need a pseudo-intellectual saying nonsense.
I think his tweets are a little more esoteric than he is even. So that's, I don't know.
Do you know what the real problem is with him for me? And this is purely because my job is to edit text. He capitalizes every word. Like, not all caps. He just capitalizes every word as if it's a proper noun. And it just drives me up the wall.
I encourage everyone to just real quick check out Jaden Smith's Twitter. There's actually some articles about it online. Here's one called The 50 Best Jaden Smith Tweets of 2015. this is just the first one that came up on a Google search. It says, if I had a nickel for every time I've cried in the back of an Uber, I would have another pair of Yeezys. And like you said, every word is capitalized in here. First letter. Maybe he's just he's dabbling in the burner game.
And that takes work to type like that. It takes more work to capitalize every word.
It does. Like you have to set out to do that. Like, you can't do that by accident. But back to Warren Buffett here. it brings up an interesting question. I saw 3 people retweet these things. And I'm just wondering, you know, are people that, you know, all these tweets are super positive and uplifting, pretty clearly not things you'd expect from an actual billionaire of Warren Buffett's stature. But, you know, it's all positive stuff. And I'm just wondering, you know, are people that desperate for positivity that they're looking to this and they're like, I'm just going to retweet this. It's the first positive thing I've seen on Twitter all day. Like, let's get this out there. Or do you think it's, you know, I mean, what's the split?
I think
how many people know that this is fake and just retweeted it anyway because they like the message?
I'd say I'm going to guess it's an even split. I could be very wrong on that. I think a lot of people just see a message they agree with and tweet it out. It could be, you know, the handle could be Elmo, but they would still tweet it out. And that should actually might be more appropriate. But they tweet it out. They just say, hey, this is a good message. I want my followers to see this. Others might be like, hey, this is Warren Buffett, and be wrong about that. But I think for the most part, people just agree with the message, and it's wrapped in a recognizable bow rather than just some... What it actually is some random person on Twitter, which doesn't have much credibility. But you do have to pay attention and make sure you're if you're going for credibility, make sure you're actually going from the correct source.
Yeah, I mean, I can't find any fault with any of the messages in here. It's just they're so, some of them are so cloying. It looks like this person is just pulling them right from like an inspirational quotes website or something.
Well, aren't we doing that right now?
We are. I'm feeling very inspired. But yeah, I mean, so that's, I really like this story. It's just really, it's kind of an interesting look at how the internet works in general, and how quickly people just, you know, jump to push things out there that may or may not be verified. It's kind of it's the internet microcosm.
It is, and yeah, it just boils down to know where your information is coming from, and, you know, verify everything. Twitter does part of that for you with a little check mark, but just check your facts.
Well, I know that Twitter, to terms of use, it is against them to create an account impersonating someone.
Yeah.
So we'll see how long this account stays up. I strongly recommend everybody check it out when you can, mainly just so you can really feel motivated to face the day. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Check out that pinned tweet so you can learn what's cool. So like we said, you know, we're going to skip right to the interview portion of today's show, mainly because we had such a good long chat with these two. But on the show today, Sam Brown, Director of Corporate Marketing, and Eric Nelson, Account Executive for BrandVia Alliance. And they were kind enough to join us and again, share their thoughts on the top 50 distributors, you know, how they made the list, how they grew the company as much as they did. And, you know, really what to expect from BrandVia moving forward and kind of what that says about the industry.
And here's our interview with Sam Brown and Eric Nelson from BrandVia Alliance.
Sam, Eric, thanks, guys, so much for joining us on the show today. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. How are you?
We're fantastic. Got a couple of phone issues out of the way early, so we're ready to roll now. Real quick, if you guys just want to tell us a little bit about yourselves and about BrandVia in general, just a quick overview for anybody unfamiliar with the company would be great.
Ladies first.
Why, thank you. Well, BrandVia itself is a company 15 years old this year, so it's founded in 2003 by seven partners back then. So it is BrandVia Alliance, and that represents those seven initial founders. We started, like I said, with 15 originally in total, and we are now at 160 people in 15 years. We've got offices in California, both north and south offices, as well as a few remote scattered about. Our client base really does focus on social community, technology, and the services industry. Eric Nelson is one of our lead account executives here, and I'll let him tell you a bit about himself.
Well, we haven't heard anything about you yet, Sam.
Go for it.
Okay. I have been with BrandVia for about almost 7 years this year, and been in the industry for way too long. I don't want to date myself, but let's just call myself an industry veteran. Been around since the mid-80s. A variety of different companies. Worked with many of the Alliance founders when we were all together at Wood Associates. And departed them for a little while, stayed in the industry, but Jim Childers sort of has put the band back together with a few other ex-Woodies, and we are thriving out here on the West Coast. Great company, love it, and love the industry.
My name is Sam Brown. I am the Director of Marketing out here. I've been in the industry not quite as long as Eric, because I have less gray hair. But
that's the official measuring stick.
Since the 2000s, I would say. I own my own company as a distributor up in Canada, yes, north of the border, and moved to California 3 years ago at the behest of my spouse, who really wanted to get out to California. So when I got here, I decided that perhaps joining a larger organization that really had a good culture was a place to be. And so when I asked my industry colleagues who was a company on the West Coast to join, they all came back with BrandVia. And so I've been here almost 3 years now.
So BrandVia finished number 23 on our 2018 Top 50 Distributors list with 54.9 million in promotional product sales and jumped from number 31 on last year's list. What's the secret, so to speak, of your success and especially your growth? What makes you guys so successful?
I think it's the addition of Sam Brown.
Great. glad I didn't have to say it myself.
But she has been a...
Really?
You have been a contributor to our outward-facing materials, website, et cetera. I'm going to go ahead and speak first, but, I don't know if you want to call it secret sauce, but I think it's just doing the basics extremely well. It's making sure that the customers, it sounds trite, but if you don't do it, it doesn't happen. Making sure the customer is taken care of and doing absolutely anything and everything that it takes to do that. I have stories which I can share. I'm sort of renowned that I have a lot of stories. But I think one of the greatest things in the time that I've been with Brandvia, we've gone from 35 employees 6 years ago to, again, 165. We've gone from approximately 12 million in revenue to where we are today, and we will be moving up on the list again. And all of that growth has occurred almost strictly on referral basis. We do or did do very little outbound marketing before Sam arrived, and it's all been done organically. So it's not because we've acquired a distributor or we've added 10 salespeople. It's because our clients are so ecstatic with what we're bringing to the table that they're referring us or getting noticed by other clients of scale. So I would say we just do everything extremely well. And there's some technological differences that we bring to the table, too. Sam?
Yeah. I'm going to agree. When Eric uses the term organically, like I said, I'm a new addition to the team when it comes to the management side of the company, and because they really have grown tremendously in the last few years. If you look at the, not just last year's numbers, but the years before. But when they talk about organic, like we look at when we hire people, it's really our HR team looks at, the right fit, which doesn't sound like magic, but at the same time, it's the right fit for who we are and how we're built, not just, can they fog a mirror and they didn't know how to use a computer and are they familiar with the product. It's really about the fact that they have the right fit, about putting the right priorities first. And that doesn't just go for clients when it comes to do they fit into the company, but the staff, and also this idea of recruits. So when a sales rep contacts us who may be in the industry already, and they, they come to us for a reason, and that's because of the same reason I was referred to us, who's got a good fit. I'm an existing person in the industry. I want to go to a place where there's really no fuss nor muss. I don't want politics. I just want to come in, do my job, leave and enjoy my life, and really take good care of the clients. And that's what the leadership team does here. They really do back anybody up. The basics are, do what you do really well, exceed your client expectations, and you don't have to answer for justifying your there's no justification required. So I think part of it also is this idea of, in the same context, is the company really does put its people first, and so this concept of we take care of our people, and then when they are taken care of, they take care of the client, right? And so we back up our people when they make a decision, and therefore they feel that they've got the support of the company behind them, and therefore everyone feels like they're moving together in the same direction. And so it's easy to, make commitments and promise something's going to happen if you know that everyone behind you is going to support that.
Yeah, and back to your point about organic growth, that was one of the things that really stuck out to us and one of the biggest reasons why we wanted to have you guys on in particular to talk about the top 50 list. You guys jumped a bunch of spots, and it was all through that organic growth. A lot of the times when you see big jumps like that, it's because of an acquisition or something like that. So that was pretty cool to see. It's even cooler to kind of pick your guys' brains on how you got there. But the point you made about company culture and hiring the right people and everything. So you guys have been basically a permanent fixture on industry best places to work lists. And one cool thing I noticed is it's really subtle. On the team page on your website, it lists everybody at the company alphabetically rather than by position from the top down, which is how I typically see that. That's a really small thing, but I think it speaks volumes about the company where it really is a team operation. Can you guys talk a little bit more about the culture at Brandvia and how much do you think that really plays into your success?
Yeah, I'll talk from the corporate side, and then I'll let Eric talk about how he runs his team, perhaps. That might be a way to look at it. So I would say we're currently about 30 sales teams taking care of this $55 million last year in the way of business. And so, you know, we do have leaders on each of those teams that are the account executives, but each of them is built, each team is built differently to help to play to the strengths of the players on the team. And so when we designed the team page about 2 years ago now, we couldn't figure out how to give everybody equal weighting on the page because, you know, your contact, if you're an end user, your contact may be Jessica. And she may not be the leader of the team, but to the contact, she's the person that matters, right, to that client. Jessica's their person at BrandVia. So whether she's the title of a project coordinator or an account executive, the client doesn't care. That's just the person who's made a commitment to get me what I need for when I need it so that I look good to my boss as an end user, right? And so, you know, the idea of just, let's just put them in alphabetical order and make sure that if you're dealing with someone at the company that they're represented on the website, but that really goes to this transparency of who we are as a company.
And to add to that, I think one of the refreshing things about this organization is how we make sure that everybody knows that everybody is dependent upon everybody else. I can't do my job if accounting doesn't do their job. And accounting can't do their job unless I go out and sell a bunch of stuff. And I can't do a pop-up store in Las Vegas or in Barcelona without the help of our fulfillment team is able to package everything and our accounting department to process 1,200 foreign transactions or 2,000 transactions that had occurred in a different state.
Don't forget logistics to actually get it there and get it back.
Logistics to get it there and get it back. And then you also, with a pop-up store, you're dealing with fixtures, you're dealing with registers, you're dealing with backup technology, you're dealing with design, you're dealing with all this stuff. And, you know, not to sound it takes a village, but it takes a village. And tomorrow morning we have our full staff, and every single employee that will be in same room or conference in, and we recognize and continually socialize our wins, our attitude, our culture of why we take care of our clients better than anybody else in the industry, in my opinion. And I think you can somehow see that works. And again, I have stories. It is a really good company to work for, because whether you're picking and packing boxes or whether you're Jim Childers in this, you know, incredibly huge office, kidding, we're all on the same team, right? I've seen everybody drop everything and go and help somebody because they've got a special project. That happens a lot with us. You know, we do a lot of kitting here, not just sell swag, but we sell a solution where all of a sudden, now I've got to put together 150 room drop kits for an executive sales thing. I'll get other people from other teams. We'll just send out an email. Need some help. Everybody comes to the back room and they help us kit and goes out the door and it's done. And the client's ecstatic. So
that's only when fulfillment can't do it, right?
Yeah. That's only when fulfillment can't do it.
Not
exactly.
Just we do that on a regular.
Those slackers over there.
So it's pretty clear that you guys pride yourselves on customer service and customer experience. When we interviewed Jim Childers, which you guys obviously know is your president, for our top distributors feature, he said the company's number one goal was to challenge yourselves to continue to exceed client expectations. Can you guys talk a little bit about your approach here? Why are these two areas so important? And what's one big customer service or experience tip or lesson for distributors listening?
I'll go first this time. You know, there's a lot of distributors out there. We all know that, right? And you know, you want to take a look at what I call my UCAs. What is my unique competitive advantage? What do I do better than anybody else? Well, first of all, we do offer some technological services that a lot of people do not have. We have the ability to get microsites up and running. Currently, I think we have about 150 microsites running for certain clients. So from an enterprise client like I service, and one of my single largest clients is LinkedIn, I mean, we do their onboarding program through a microsite. We do their wellness program through a microsite. We do their global recruiting through a microsite. We do gift basket program through a microsite. We do their swag store through our microsite technology. And what this does, and we recently had a business review, we delivered in 2017 over 500,000 pieces of swag to the LinkedIn culture, to the employees, and their their customers. And that's a tremendous impact. But to do that smoothly and effectively and globally is sets us apart. Sam?
Yeah. I was just looking up the numbers for how many stores we've launched recently. So we currently have e-stores, we have 431 open. It's a little more than 100.
Okay.
I think when you talk about it, and if I'm clarifying, so Brennan, with the idea of customer service being a priority and this idea of exceeding those expectations, that's really what you've tied together as the 2 points?
Yeah.
Perfect. So Jim has this term that he had to explain to me when I first got here, and he talks about being 100% referenceable. So I had to Google referenceable and prove to him that it wasn't a word in the dictionary. So we've decided it's a brand new word, and it actually does appear in some of our collateral. And this idea of when we have a client, and for some reason if they choose to leave us, the idea is we want a new client to be able to reach out to that contact who's now a past client and still hear good things about Brandia. So for whatever reason they've chosen to leave us, which sometimes is, you know, their uncle got into the business, but we still want everyone who deals with Brandia, whether they're big or small, to feel they've been treated well by Brandia and its team. And I think that is the core of our success, right? So it's about respect. It's about integrity. So if I want to simplify it, that idea of customer service and exceeding expectations, you know, I've been in the industry a long time. I've worked with, have my own distributorship as well. But not every client can get treated the same way as your LinkedIn, for example, right? And that's kind of how clients expect to be treated. And so when they deal with Brandia, if, you know, you're not a LinkedIn and you still get the same service that a LinkedIn gets, then that's unexpected, right? Like you're treated like, you know, royalty or whatever term you want to use. But everyone gets that and everyone feels respected and then this 100% referenceability or 100% referenceable piece, I haven't figured out how to use that word yet, if I'm honest about that. That is really what resonates throughout the company. Like we all know that what matters most is that people feel still really well treated by the Brandia team.
I'm going to add on to that a little bit, and I'm going to give you two stories. just because I'm biting, chopping at the bit.
Can we limit you to one?
No.
Start with one.
Two.
Okay.
So, and this is something that also from my team, and you're going to hear this tomorrow, full staff too, by the way.
Okay.
You know, I know it's going to be a real big surprise, and you don't have to edit this word, but shit happens in this business. And you know, a factory screws up, we screw up. And my mantra to my team, it's not how you handle it, things when things are going well, it's how you handle it when things go wrong. And that's what's going to make a difference with you making a customer from a customer into a lifetime client. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you two examples of this. One, Facebook was opening a new building campus in Dublin, Ireland, and they ordered some shirts, and it was going to be a very high-profile event, senior executives, Dublin Chamber of Commerce, the mayor, and all this other good stuff. And for a variety of reasons, shit happened, and those T-shirts didn't get sent. And they were supposed to be sent on a Friday for a Monday event. They didn't leave. So 99% of the time, what would you do? Well, we'll figure something out. Well, what we did is the program manager took the 150 T-shirts, got on an airplane on Saturday, flew to Dublin, Ireland, hand-delivered them on Sunday for the event on Monday. It's another phrase that we use at Brandia, whatever it takes. So whatever it takes to make that client happy, we're going to do it. Damn the cost. Because the lifetime cost of that client is invaluable, and they won't remember the fact that you delivered 99 out of 100 correctly. They're going to remember the fact that you didn't get the T-shirts to Dublin in time. So we do whatever it takes. Last but not least, another short story is that sitting in front of a client recently trying to get a big program, and she goes, do you have some references? And, you know, everyone gives references where things have gone right.
Yeah.
And I looked at her and I said, you know, I'm going to do something different. She looked at me and she goes, what? I go, I'm going to give you three names, three prominent clients where I have screwed up. And you ask them if they're going to continue to work with me. She goes, really? And I go, again, shit happens. So we got the business because she called up, found out that, yeah, things did screw up, but we went the extra mile to make sure that it never impacted their programs. So two stories.
I think we're going to have to make... we're going to have to make Shit Happens the title of the podcast for today.
It'll be our new tagline.
The idea is only when shit happens do we react.
Right.
Let's clarify that one.
Bring it back.
The aim for perfect. But when perfect can't come through, that's when we have to dig deep, right?
Yeah. Can we get that on a T-shirt or something? That'd be. I will take that if you can send it.
I wrote
it
down my whiteboard to see what I can make out of that already. Yeah.
Bring it back to the funny.
As part of this, actually.
Oh, there's a third story coming.
If you go into the LinkedIn store, the Jeff Weiner. Or Weiner, excuse me.
Let's edit that one.
Yeah, the CEO
that one's staying on there.
One of his favorite phrases is work hard, have fun, get shit done. And we have that on some promotional products, and it's a very popular. These are only available to LinkedIn employees, it's not an uncommon vernacular here in the Valley.
Sure. No, I've seen, we've done it for Adobe as well. Yeah. No, it's not that one in particular.
So bring it back to the top 50 list, and we already likely covered some of these areas during the course of this conversation, but you know, what would you say is the biggest key to success in this industry? I know it's hard to distill it to one thing, but you know, phrase another way, let's say I'm a distributor outside the top 50. What should I do or what do I need to do to crack that list?
Join us.
So simple.
And then we can add M&A to our experience, right? Because we've had this growth without it. So imagine we catapult ourselves up. I think the idea is really from a long-term, you know, it'll be a long-term battle to get to top 50 with the state of who's up here right now in the top 50, right? We saw all the M&A that happened this year and those numbers. And when I saw the M&A report coming through throughout the year and Jim and I were chatting, he's like, you know, how do you think we're going to do on the top 50 this year? I'm like, well, given what happened with the M&A and all the companies, I said, I'm really not sure how we're going to come out of the wash at the end of the day. Like, we've had, you know, great growth. I think it was 28% this year or last year. But I was really a little concerned that we would still qualify given all the M&A action that we saw. But my answer would be, one of these trite answers like relationships. We have strong supplier partners, and I've worked with some of our supplier partners who've come to Brandia. And they go above and beyond to take care of us. The way they work with us, the way they prioritize our work, and they only do it because we're not one of the bigger ones. Like, we're only 23 on the list, right? There are bigger. But we get this treatment because of this integrity piece that Jim has instilled throughout the company, this idea of, you know, treating people well, respecting each other. And so, you know, when projects do go south, right, it's still a matter of, you know, we don't start yelling at our suppliers, and I've seen that happen in other organizations. It's just a matter of, hi, you know, for example, Eric, yeah, screwed the pooch on that one. How can we fix it, right? How can we get it fixed for the client? How do we get it to the UK, whatever the solution is? And it's just a matter of we've learned that moving forward and treating people well, and then, of course, as things come back around, you know, we've made some amazing supplier relationships, and they help us get there. You know, the suppliers are one part of the key, and then we take care of the client. So that'd be my response.
I would also, you know, from a sales standpoint, it's amazing in my experience how many people don't do what they say they're going to do. If you say you're going to get a quote to someone that day, get a quote to them that day. Say you're going to call back, call back. And it's amazing when you hear some of my clients say, yeah, I sent them a request for pricing 3 days ago and haven't heard a word. And then the secondary thing is your word is your bond. You do whatever it takes to make sure that the product gets delivered on time, decorated correctly. You follow up with the factories. You do all of it. And even when you do everything right, something can happen, but you fix it. I think sometimes also people tend to make this business too serious, it's a fun business. You know, it's like generally when I'm meeting with a client, they're getting to spend other people's money to buy stuff. It's pretty cool. And I don't have to sell them anything. I just got to service the crap out of them and make them feel like they're never going to get this type of service anywhere else. If you do that, your business will build.
So what else can we expect from BrandVia moving forward? Do you guys have any big plans for the near or far future? Is there anything that we haven't asked about that you wanted to add?
Well, if I tell you, I might have to kill you.
Oh, that's it. There's a threat. It's on record right now.
Then I just don't have to answer. Right?
We've got audio evidence.
BrandVia is always, we've had a marketing team at BrandVia for a good 2.5 years now. We didn't have a marketing team until now. And as we look at things and keep our fingers on the pulse, we're having a lot of fun with this reveal event that we started 2 years ago. And so that's been probably one of our bigger successes. I think you're going to see that continue to morph. So that's a client end user event that we have here. And we do it every February, March, right after PPAI in Vegas. And it runs a month now. It's a month-long client event where we showcase all of our favorite picks for the season, trends, new service offerings that we bring out, so like this whole gift experience element. Eric wants to say something, so I'm going to stop talking.
No, how many buyers did we have go through?
So last year we had a 30% increase in buyers over the previous year, so we had 350 last year over 4 weeks, and that's in the Bay Area, so think of like New York traffic. It's insane, but we had people come out and spend an hour and a half on average here at the office and really start to talk about. They use these events to come out, or this event to come out and kind of talk about their year in advance. So now we've become like partners to them in a true sense of the word. They come in, they say, I got this coming up in February, this in July. You know, what are we going to do for this? And keep in mind, in December, I've got this going on as well. And so our sales teams meet with them and kind of work with them as this consultative approach of, okay, well, we're doing that, then this. And they get this much more holistic approach to helping their clients by just taking on this different vantage point. So we're not pushing a particular product, but this idea of, you know, here's the spread of what we can offer you. We show them case histories of what we've done in the past of different teams. And so that's Reveal, and I think it's come a long way. And I look forward to doing some extensions of Reveal, and you'll have to follow us to find out what those look like.
And what Sam's saying is sort of re-cements why we're different and why we're better with our clients. So I think if you're asking what BrandVia's got up its sleeve, I'm just going to say that we're getting better at what we do, which is a little scary in some ways. And then additionally, with the addition of Sam's team and having gone through, you know, major branding initiatives and doing the website and along those lines, she's in a spot where Jim has always tried to be a little bit under the radar. And we're going to, you know, maybe push out a little bit and let people in other areas know how good we are at what we're doing, and they should be working with us. So we're not going to be as silent. And additionally, I think we're also at
the word
pretty,
is stealth mode.
Yeah,
stealth mode
yeah.
is what I was told after.
So we're also still experiencing close to 30% year-over-year growth. So I'm expecting to move up a little bit on the list next year, and we're going to continue that. So, you know.
Well, you guys are clearly doing some really great things. It was awesome to hear about everything and to see what, you know, what makes you guys what you are, and you know how you were able to place on the list and to grow. And yeah, no doubt you guys will be back on there next year, and excited to see where you end up. But thanks so much again for coming on with us, Sam, Eric. I hope you guys have a fantastic day, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
You too.
Yes, it was great to do this. This is my first ever podcast, so
well, you're a star now.
asking me to talk is not that difficult of a thing to do. Maybe the mute button you can't find.
All right, thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
So that was our interview with Sam and Eric, and obviously they had a lot of really good things to say in there. I thought that some of the best parts were about the company culture and customer experience and those two aspects, and clearly BrandVia made those two things a real focal point of their operations, and you know, it speaks volumes about the kind of company that they are, and it seems to be working for them.
Yeah, like we talked about in the during the conversation, their website is very, very equal for everyone. Everyone is listed alphabetically rather than in terms of hierarchy. Everyone's photo is the same size. It all is very equal and egalitarian over at BrandVia, it seems like. And when you can inspire your employees to feel good about where they work, then they'll produce good results, and they obviously have.
Yeah, it's clearly all about the team there. And one of the things that we actually got into offline after the recorded conversation ended was we were just chatting with Sam and Eric about some of the trends that we're noticing in the promotional space. And they touched on it in the interview, and we've talked about it in several of these podcasts, basically each of the last four or five, maybe six that we've done. Relationships are just so important in this industry, and I feel like a broken record, and we keep harping on that, but it's just because it's so true and so important. And clearly that is the model and the belief that BrandVia has here with the way they structure their organization and the way they structure their outward-facing organization with the way they interact with customers and everything. And it's just really good to see that. And I think it speaks to a broad overall trend in the industry where the best companies are really starting to realize that those relationships are everything. And it's just really great to see.
All right, that is about it for this episode. If you like what you heard, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Google Play. Also, be sure to subscribe on promomarketing.com, Google Play, Apple Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you guys have any tips or comments, send them our way at promo_marketing on Twitter. Thanks for listening, everybody. Until next time, for Brendan Menapace, I'm Sean Norris, and this is the Promo Marketing Podcast.